to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we're off and running here on a Monday morning in beautiful Brevard County, Florida. And we are glad that you have tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM. Can we give it up to WMIE for making the gospel of Jesus Christ available to Brevard County through their wonderful ministry here? My name's Bob Arthurs. Paul's doing a wahoo back there in the background. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, and we would really, really be blessed if you were able to come and join us at Merritt Assembly of God. You know, God said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest field. I was driving down the road the other day, and I don't know what everybody else thinks about when they're driving down the road. I think about things, and it was like, you know, there were three things that were strikes against us when we first came to Merritt Assembly of God. The facilities needed work desperately. There weren't very many people in the church at that point in time, and there wasn't any money in the church. And through the years, we've had some of those resolved, and now we have two out of the three. But I tell you what, we could sure use some people who love Jesus Christ, who know that they are gifted by God, equipped by God, and are ready to work in the harvest field for God. And if you feel like the Lord might be leading you in that direction, we would love to have you come and visit with us and be a part of what God is doing. We want to give a shout out today to Coastal Image Landscapes, right here in Merritt Island, Florida, 321-208-2281. Dan is the person that I do most of my dealing with, and he is a hard worker. He's a blessing, always had a word of encouragement, always has had the expertise, the knowledge that I needed on how to resolve any problems that I might be facing, and he and his team did a wonderful, wonderful job on my project at my house. That's where I first encountered them. They've done a wonderful work on our facility as well. And we are truly grateful that God has blessed Merritt Island with Coastal Image Landscapes. They've got two different divisions. They have the lawn care division and they have the landscaping division. Dan is the one with the landscaping division that I've talked to, but you can get a hold of the company at 321-208-2281. And they will come out, take a look at your project, and see what they can do for you. And you will be glad that you did. So tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So let's go to Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1 today. And we will probably just go ahead and read through the entire chapter. We're not going to pick things up until verse number 11. I think we can get through there today. So, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer yes twice. But I will proceed no further. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Let's see, I am in the right passage. Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. tread down the wicked in their place, hide them in the dust together, bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Look now at the behemoth, which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now, his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze, his ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus trees in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident, though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. So let's go back to verse number 11, and that's where we're going to pick up today. I was talking with one of my board members about what we were teaching here on the radio program, about, you know, the limitations of united opposition against God. I want you to understand that the questions that God asks of Job and that we are asking of ourselves here in 2022 were not designed to demonstrate Job's intelligence at all, you know, as what he knew and what he didn't know. God already knows all of that. He knows the thoughts that we think, and he knows the intents of our heart. The questions were designed to demonstrate to Job and to us as well here in our modern times the inadequacy that we find in and of ourselves. It is a way to realize how much we truly depend upon God. And that's demonstrated here in verse number 11 when it says, "Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him." And then it says, "And bring him low." Can you conduct yourself, whether it is in your anger, whether it is in your rage, whether it's in your conduct, your character, can you behave yourself? Can you use your authority, exercise your authority in such a way that you are not able to humble some, but humble all of the people? Remember, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so that's really the question here, is are you of such majesty and splendor and power and strength and voice and glory and beauty that when you come in contact with every single creature or every single individual who is imprisoned by their own arrogance, can you humble them? God has no problems doing that. Look in the book of Revelation and see what happens when humanity, all across the spectrum of history, every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every socioeconomic group, every philosophy, every socioeconomic group, every one of them, when they behold God upon his throne, in his holiness and in his power and majesty, the Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and they will acknowledge that he is righteous and true and just in all of his judgments, even when they are experiencing not the blessings of their life, but the consequences of their life. They will still be declaring the righteousness, the holiness, and the justice of God. God, you are right. we can't do that. I have this particular attitude, this mindset that I have, that before I speak in a corrective manner to anybody, I want to go into my prayer closet, and I want God not just to be Lord over my spirit, I want him to be Lord over my emotions. And so I go into my prayer closet, and I want to lay all of my emotions down at the altar so that I am not speaking from an emotional point of view, but from a biblical point of view. There are a lot of people who act, they speak, they respond in ways that are going to make them feel better, whether or not their actions are right or whether they are not right. We need to adjust that. We need to change that. And so I highly encourage you to look at the situation and say, are there any areas that I am, let's see, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Are there any areas in your life where you think more highly of yourself than you really should because you're not really accomplishing the things that you want to accomplish? To tell you that I've, you know, God makes me live out all of the stuff that I teach. That at some point in time, there's going to be an opportunity for me to learn from this situation. So at one point in time, I was sent with a direction to procure a particular item for a church ministry. I encountered a person, and their response was, "Have I been asked?" And at that point in time, it was like, okay, I'm really not involved in this process. But I said, please, sir, can I have some more? No, I didn't go that. But I composed myself, and I asked politely if we could utilize that particular prop for this particular ministry. And they granted that, and I was like, I'm just speechless that that person would have that mindset. Have I been asked? It was less than a month later where I was in a particular situation and somebody was coming to tell me that I needed to do something. First, I had heard of it, and I'm sitting there, and before I could, you know, compose myself or anything like that, I opened my mouth, and guess what words came out of my mouth? Have I been asked? And immediately, I was gripped with conviction. I didn't have to wait to be asked. I went ahead and did it. Apologized and repented, but I recognized that I was blind to the fact that faults that I saw in other people, I didn't see in myself. So any interaction that we ever have with God, if he ever utilizes us in the gifts, if there's a miracle that takes place, it's not that we get a merit badge. It's not that people look and say, look here, look at Bob, look at how awesome Bob is. That is never the point. The point is, apart from Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. But because of Jesus Christ, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. So, Job, are you able to deal with not just some of the people who are proud, but are you able to deal with everyone who is proud in such a way that humility becomes their new way of life? Like I said, we see that in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. In verse number 12, It says, look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. So the next question is, Job, can you overpower the wicked in such a way that they are ground to dust as if they never existed? Do you realize that throughout history, pride has been a problem, wickedness has been a problem, and that most people do not have any recollection of those people at all? The people who were boasting in their wickedness and boasting in their ability to bully and overpower other segments of society or other races or other groups, other nations. They had greater military might and all of that. And I dare say that if you took a poll of the roughly 7 to 8 billion people on the planet, you wouldn't have more than 1,000 who would know that even some of the most famous people in history ever existed. In this particular case, not only is Job being confronted, can you deal with the proud, but can you deal with the wicked? How are you going to handle the wicked? Now, one of the questions that people struggle with whenever they are looking for a reason not to believe in God, there's a couple of them. God, why do you allow suffering? And then there's another one. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do the wicked prosper? If you go over to Psalm 73, the psalmist has a recount of how he handled that situation. Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph, and he said, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than the heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against their heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. Capital Y, that means God's children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Capital Y, that means God. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. Again, God. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to your glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Why do the wicked prosper? The basis of that question is much along the lines of what we are going. God, I would deal with wickedness in an entirely different manner than what you do. I would wipe all of the wicked off of planet Earth. I would deal with everyone who is arrogant, everyone who is in oppression, everyone who is not living according to your word. Bam, they would be gone. Okay, that is the philosophy that most people speak of. What they actually mean is, God, I would wipe off the face of the earth anyone who is more wicked than I am. I would be the base. Anybody worse than me, they'd be gone. Anybody better than me, well, we'll allow them to go on. That's actually what they mean. They mean that the standard that they hold towards righteousness or towards wickedness is different from God's, and they think that the wicked just ought to be eliminated when Jesus came to die, not for those who were well, but those who were sick spiritually. He came to give his life to forgive the sins of the wicked, those who are in spiritual opposition to him. That's how God deals with wickedness. The truth of the matter is, our God is extremely long-suffering. Whenever I ask people this question, I generally get a pretty universal answer. How many of you responded to Jesus and accepted his offer of forgiveness and salvation at the earliest possible opportunity? And even children generally don't respond the first time. They generally wait till much later in the process. You know, multiple times. Do you realize that the only reason that any of humanity is still here is because of the will of God, the patience of God, the long-suffering of God, and the reality that he wants to redeem the lost? So there are a lot of people. So I was dealing with a situation one time, and I'd shown mercy upon mercy upon mercy. And here we were dealing with this situation one more time. And I was in prayer, and God spoke to me, and he said, "How is that going for you? I mean, are you getting the results that you are looking for?" And I said, "No, God, we're just going around the mountain one more time." And then God spoke to me, and he said this, "Why don't you try doing it my way?" And I said, "Okay, God, how do you want me to deal with it?" And at first, it looked like the way that you would expect that to go from a fleshly perspective. You'd look like it was going to be a cataclysmic failure. But the Holy Spirit wasn't done. And the Holy Spirit began to work in the situation. And that situation resolved itself gloriously, and is all to God be the glory. It is all to God be the glory, because God really does know what he's doing. Can you overpower the wicked? I don't know anybody who can other than God. Okay, so look at verse number 14. If you can do all of that, then I will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Because now here is where we are really getting down to the foundation of this conversation, is, can we save ourselves? Can a person pay the price, live so perfectly that they can actually redeem yourself? God says, if you can do everything that we've discussed here thus far, then I will admit that you could be the source of your own salvation. After all, that's what the devil wants us to try and achieve. He wants us to try and do it by our own merit, by our own work, by our own effort. And he knows full well that man could never live up to the righteous perfection that would be necessary to salvation. We could never pass the test of examination of being perfect and flawless to the innermost parts of our being. Only Jesus could do that. You may be the finest human being that I ever come in contact with. And I will tell you that you need Jesus for your sins to be washed away and for your name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, just the same as I do. You may be the most arrogant person that I ever cross paths with. And Jesus can save you, humble you, come and live in your heart, and then you will start boasting not about yourself, but like Paul, you'll start boasting about the things of God. You may be, like Paul, the chiefest of sinners. You may have done so many horrific things that the devil has tried to convince you that there's no way that God could save you. And just like the others, I would point you to the cross and say, there's the source of your salvation. It is the flawless, holy sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross, not for his sin, but for my sin, for your sin. And if you say yes, you won't be trying to earn your salvation. You will be glad to receive the precious gift of salvation that Jesus has given to you. Would you mind praying this prayer with me today as we end today's program? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Even when I was unlovable, when I was fighting against you, thank you that you were willing to go to the cross. You were willing to shed your blood. You died and rose again and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and now you empower me to live the life you want me to live. Thank you for dealing with my pride. Thank you for victory over wickedness. And God, I pray today that you receive all the glory, all the honor, all the power, and all the praise. Welcome to the family of God if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving you my dream. I'm laying down my rights. I'm giving up my pride for the promise of new life. And I surrender all to you, all to you. sir.